You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I know we're only to the middle of June, but college football is right around the corner. We're a little over 2 months away, and the opening weekend is going to be so phenomenal. And the season will actually get rolling on Friday, September 2nd. We get Kansas State at Stanford. Stanford should roughly be around the top 10. And then on Saturday, September 3rd, we get Oklahoma and Houston, LSU, Wisconsin, UCLA, Texas A&M, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, USC, Clemson, and Auburn. And then on Sunday, we get Notre Dame and Texas. My goodness. September cannot come soon enough. Joining us right now over the phone, very special guest, one that we love having on. He joins us a couple of times a year during the college football offseason. He's the author of the College Football Bible, I like to call it, Phil Steele's College Football Preview. Phil, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you again for joining us on the show today.
Hey, a real pleasure, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm going to start by talking about your projected AP preseason top 10. First off, you have Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Florida State, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Stanford, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. Break that down for me, Phil, the top 10 that you see as far as the projected preseason poll.
Well, you know, starting at the top, I think Alabama might just be the most talented team in the country coming back this year. Now, they do have a tough schedule. They have to play the other three of the top SEC teams, Tennessee, LSU, and Ole Miss, all on the road this year. They also play USC on the road. But inexperienced quarterback, no problem. And as far as that defense goes, they got three big-time additions with Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, and Eddie Jackson, their defensive linemen, middle linebacker, and strong safety, all turning down the NFL and opting to return. That means their defense could be about just as good as last year. The rest of the projected AP top 10, I think Clemson will be up there probably at number 2. You're looking at Deshaun Watson coming back with a 1,000-yard running back and Wayne Gallman. Mike Williams, their top receiver, who went into a goal post in the first game of the season last year and was out for the year. He's back. 8 returning starters overall on offense, 4 on defense. It's a Clemson team that some folks are going to pick number 1. They're going to get some number 1 votes coming in, and that's why I think they're going to end up number 2 in the AP poll to open up the year. Number 3 is Oklahoma, and of the national title contenders, they might have the clearest path. What happened at Baylor, I think it's going to hurt Baylor. They lose their head coach in Art Briles. They've lost a couple of players, numerous recruits, and some JUCOs that were supposed to come in and play right away are not going to be with the team this year. I think that's going to hurt them. And who knows, they may lose some other players as well. Not having Art Briles on the sidelines is going to be big, and that opens up the door for Oklahoma because TCU is inexperienced, and I think they're a level ahead of everybody else. So I've got the Sooners number 3 in the AP poll. And once again, there's a team that's going to draw some votes in the AP poll at the start of the year. Florida State's going to get some votes in the AP vote for number 1 at the start of the year. They got 11 returning starters on offense, 6 on defense, Dalvin Cook at running back, and plenty of offensive and defensive talent. Last year, they were the least experienced team in the country at number 128. This year, they're much more experienced, and they get that big game against Clemson at home, which is why I think they'll draw some number 1 votes this year. Number 5, I've got the LSU Tigers, and LSU has got Leonard Fournette back. They have got 17 returning starters. They get Dave Aranda as defensive coordinator. Dave Aranda, of course, has piloted Wisconsin's defense the last 3 years, and they've been the best in the NCAA statistically. Now he's taking on more talent than he's ever had before. So this is a very dangerous LSU team, and as I mentioned earlier, they get Alabama at home, so I've got them coming in at number 5. Number 6 is Ohio State, and it's a rare year for Ohio State not to be in the top 5, but they are the least experienced team in the country. Only 3 returning starters on offense, 3 on defense. They got a tough early game against Oklahoma, which they have to play on the road with that young squad. But their biggest 2 games of the year are at Michigan State and home against Michigan in the final 2 games of the season. And by the time you get to the final 2 games of the season, you got 10 games under your belt. You're no longer an inexperienced squad. And that's why I think Ohio State has a great shot at winning the Big Ten this year, and I've got them in at number 6. The hot team this spring has been the number 7 one in the AP poll for me, and that's the Michigan Wolverines. Now, they do have to play both Michigan and Michigan State on the road, but it's a veteran squad. with 13 returning starters, and they could open up easily 7-0. What concerns me about Michigan is their final five games. They have to travel to Iowa, Michigan State, and Michigan. It's going to be tough to sweep that trio of teams. Number eight, I've got the Stanford Cardinal. McCaffrey's back at running back. They finished number three in the country last year, and I think Stanford's got a good chance they will be in the top 10 at the start of the year. Could be the preseason favorite to win the Pac-12. Remember, last year's squad on defense only had three returning starters, and it wasn't your normal Stanford defense. They're ranked number 43 in the country. This year, they have a top 10 defense again, and with McCaffrey, a running back, they are a threat. They do have a tough schedule. Number nine, I've got Tennessee coming in the AP poll, and Tennessee's going to be the preseason favorite to win the East. And of all the Power 5 teams out there, they are the most experienced Power 5 team in the country, the third most experienced team in the country. So Butch Jones has been talking about, we're young. You can't use that as an excuse anymore. And keep in mind, last year they lost four games. All four games, if you change just one play in the game, they could have won. So they could have been a 13-0 team last year, and now they've got the most experienced Power 5 team. And finally, at number 10, I've got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I do think they make the preseason top 10. They've got nine returning starters and a boatload of players that missed last year with injury that are back. Very talented backfield and talented throughout. And I think that when you look at the Irish's schedule, they could be a favorite in their first 11 games this year until they roll in to USC in the season final.
You did mention one Pac-12 team in your top 10. That is Stanford, obviously, here in Utah town. People will love to see a Pac-12 team getting some top 10 recognition. Stanford is a really, you brought it up defensively. If I flip it to the offensive side of the ball, Phil, this is a really interesting squad. They have a lot of talent on the offensive line, but I wonder how that unit is going to mesh together. There are some question marks there.
But with David Shaw, the way he recruits offensive line, I think they're going to do just fine. You look at Johnny Caspers at guard and Casey Tucker at right tackle, and then the players they have coming in. This is a unit loaded with VHDs. Shaw does a good job getting the most out of them. So I think the offensive line will be fine. And there's question marks at quarterback as well, because Hogan is gone. He was basically a four-year starter that hit 68% of his passes last year with a 27-8 ratio. But I like both Keller Crist and Ryan Burns. These are big boys. They're both 6'5". They're both in the mid-230s, maybe high-230s range. They both have NFL-caliber arms, and I think whichever one wins the job, and I'm projecting Crist, I think that he'll have a pretty good year.
Again, our guest right now is Phil Steele. He's the author of Phil Steele's College Football Preview. That'll be hitting the newsstands on June 28th, and you can actually pre-order that right now. We'll talk to Phil about that in just a moment. Phil, let's stick with the Pac-12 here for just a moment. The Utah Utes. We talked to Coach Kyle Whittingham here on the show about a month ago. Spring practices, he was happy with the way things went. But once again, I feel like I'm having the same conversation with you every single year. Who's going to be the guy under center for the Utes at quarterback this year?
Yeah, and Troy Williams missed the spring game. I thought both Brandon Cox and Tyler Huntley looked good in the spring game, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Troy Williams is able to rebound from missing that spring game and coming back and taking the job. So in that three-way battle, like I said, I like what I saw to Cox and Huntley, but I'm going to go with Troy Williams to take the quarterback battle this year.
Of course, the big loss for the Utes is going to be Devontae Booker. I don't know how you replace Devontae the way the Utes had kind of, I guess, rode him over the last couple of seasons. But Joe Williams proved last year that he can be a formidable back. Now, Coach Whittingham told me, look, there's no way that he's going to get remotely the touches that we gave to Devontae. He's just a different type of runner. But what do you expect out of Joe Williams?
Well, you know, I look at what Joe Williams did. Remember, Booker missed the final three games of last year, so Joe Williams got his chance to step in there and shine at the end of the season. And I thought that Williams did well. He rushed for 121 yards against UCLA, 187 yards against Colorado, and 91 against BYU. So, he averaged about 133 yards per game, and if he does that for the season, he'll do pretty well. But just as Coach Whittingham said, I don't think he can handle that amount of pounding. But they've got Troy McCormick there. Remember, McCormick was supposed to be in the mix last year, and then he had the ACL. He is back, and he's one of the best in blitz pickup, which means he'll be able to see the field. They've got a true freshman in Zach Moss, a punishing runner at 206 pounds. So now they've got a little bit of depth at running back. And with Booker missing the last three games last year, I think that allowed a guy like Joe Williams to come in and show he can do. And, you know, last year Booker only averaged 4.7 yards per carry. Williams averaged 4.6.
Yep, very, very similar as far as the average per rush. However, when you talk about the Utah Utes, I know the main thing that always stands out is going to be their defense and their special teams. Special teams will look a little different this year, but the defense looks like it's going to be as strong as ever. One of the top defensive units in the Pac-12, is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. And, you know, when I look at Utah, they've got the strengths pretty much where I would love to have the strengths if I was just building a team from scratch. First of all, they do have one of the better offensive lines in the country. I rate them number 32 is there. You have 90 career starts on the offensive line. It's a veteran unit. So if you're strong at the offensive line, odds are you're going to have a pretty good offense. And I would think the top running back running behind this line will have a little bit higher YPC this year. Now, defensively, I rate their defensive line third best in the country. I talked to a lot of NFL guys during the spring when I was putting together my magazine and coming up with who could be first-round draft picks, and they got three guys up front in Lowell Lotulelei, Hunter Dimmick, and Kylie Fitz. These guys are all talked about as possible NFL guys. There's good depth on the defensive line. I rate it the third best defensive line in the entire country. And then go back to the secondary. Dominique Hatfield, Reginald Porter at your cornerback spots, Marcus Williams at free safety. Getting a guy like Chase Hansen back at the strong safety is big. I rate him the sixth best secondary in the country. So if you're strong up front and strong in the secondary, you're going to have a pretty good defense. Clearly one of the best in the Pac-12. And despite losing a pretty amazing punter in Tom Hackett, let's face it, Tom Hackett, a couple of Ray Guy trophies on his trophy shelf. They still have Andy Phillips back, and they bring in a guy in Mitch Wishnowsky who may even have a stronger leg than Hackett had. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares in a punter's role. I don't think he's going to get a net of 43-7. I don't know if Utah's going to be at the very top of the special teams, but I still rate them the 12th best special teams in the country, and having a kicker like Andy Phillips will put any unit in pretty good shape.
Phil, there's so much more I'd like to talk to you about, including BYU. However, we're running short on time for this particular break. Do you have time to hang around with us for one more segment?
Sounds good, Jordan.
Fantastic. We're going to pause for just a minute. We'll come back, talk BYU football with Phil Steele, author of the College Football Magazine, Phil Steele's College Football Preview. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.